Bad and evil. Author's note: evil is an unpleasant, difficult, and dangerous topic. It is hoped that people will view this material just enough to grasp whatever they find useful. Dwelling on these subjects is detrimental to our minds and hearts. Part 5. Evil in People. Evil people do not acknowledge responsibility for anything harmful they have done. They either claim they did not do it, that they are not responsible for it, or that it was not bad. They feel no remorse and do not apologize with sincerity. However, they know they are bad. They go to great lengths to cover up their culpability. People without a conscience don't bother. Evil people have a conscience. They just lie to themselves, believe their excuses, and twist perspectives. By contrast, good people look at the truth, feel sad when they realize they have done something harmful, and want to remedy the damage as best they can. Evil people cannot accept their own imperfection. They do not recognize or acknowledge that anything in themselves ought to change. They do not acknowledge that they have room for spiritual growth. They believe they are already just as good or better than everyone else. They feel they are above reproach. Nothing is wrong with them. Problems are always in other people. Evil people project their own evil outward onto others. They maintain a false image as a good person, an upstanding member of society. They utilize numerous strategies to maintain this image: lies, deception, subtle twisting of truth and principle, associates with good reputations, compliant lawyers, powerful allies. They cover their tracks meticulously. They avoid anything that could get them caught, and instead induce other people to put themselves at risk for shady behavior. They fight to the death to maintain their image and react viciously to any exposure. Evil people only see evil outside themselves. They seek to change other people and the outside world, and to do so by forcibly imposing their will on others, either covertly or overtly. They take matters into their own hands as policy and in practice. If they feel unjustly treated, they take revenge. They refuse to submit to their own conscience, to any higher ideal, to a supreme being. Sometimes they believe that there is really no difference between good and bad, that there is no reason to strive to be good, that life has no intrinsic meaning or purpose, that nothing really matters. They repudiate love, truth, and a supreme being. Instead, they are unwittingly enslaved to evil. Evil people are terrified inside. They hide it well, but they are frightened to death. Their obsessive need for control is a reaction to their fear. Evil people often seek power because they need it to control others and maintain their deception. They might not declare it openly, but they feel it is perfectly acceptable to hurt others if they have been hurt, and they aren't necessarily rational about who hurt them. They feel it is perfectly acceptable to use, deceive, and manipulate others in the same breath as they claim to be devout or principled. They feel superior and may enjoy toying with other people. Evil people, those who have committed themselves to a path of evil, are relatively rare. However, they hide behind socially acceptable facades: the polite neighbor, the church volunteer, the kind schoolteacher, the smiling politician. We are only likely to recognize their evil in a fleeting remark, a fleeting facial expression, a fleeting smile at an inappropriate time. When good people are faced with evil, they are usually confused. One may feel creepy, but one may feel creepy for other reasons too, so this feeling by itself is not a sure indicator of evil. When normal people truly perceive evil, they feel revulsion. This reaction is not unloving, it is appropriate. It arises out of our instinct for self-preservation and our natural recoil from ugliness and attraction to beauty and goodness. It is wise to avoid speaking the name of an evil person any more than is necessary to become aware and take appropriate action. Before judging others, we must first examine ourselves thoroughly, removing the specks in our own eyes before condemning others. Self-righteousness and a belief in one's own superiority must be overcome with true humility. Not thinking that we are equally bad or evil, for we are not, we must simply remain cognizant of our own weaknesses. Secondly, we must examine factual evidence with care and discernment, not relying only on rules of evidence or precedent, but also on our experienced intuition, gut instincts, and our inner innate sense of goodness and justice. If we are hasty to condemn, we can easily create more evil by lynching the wrong person, lynching some good along with the bad, or lynching a subordinate but failing to punish the superiors who were even more responsible, leaving the organizational evil intact. This last situation clearly occurred in the court-martial of Lieutenant William Kelly for the 1968 atrocities in My Lai, Vietnam. Similar massacres occurred all over Vietnam during the war, but others were not prosecuted. The institutional evil was examined, but recommendations were not implemented. It can be argued that the only thing we should truly hate is evil itself, the essence, the spirit of evil, not people who are motivated by it or enthralled by it. Evil can be healed and redeemed by spiritual intervention, but the evil person must want and accept the healing and must follow through by deciding to reject evil again and again. The process is difficult for everyone involved, but if an evil person wants to change and acts accordingly, true healing and transformation can occur. Decisions, even vows, can be reversed.